Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your day 4 recap for this week's WGC Dell Technologies Match Play. Joining me to break down a full day of golf, it's Greg Ducharme. Hey, Greg.
What's going on, Rick? A full day of golf and a good one at that. And I mean, this is a great tournament, but there's one thing that really has been ringing out to me today, more so than any other day leading into this. And boy, is this going to be a great Masters or what? I mean, okay. Some of these guys playing, it's awesome.
I thought about that. And even some of the guys that we've been, have more question marks, have been a little inconsistent over the last, year or so. Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, they're rounding into form right before we get to the Masters. Scottie Scheffler is seemingly the greatest player on planet Earth. John Rahm got out of his group. I mean, it's going to be fun, dude.
Yeah, it's great. And then you got last year's runner-up, Will Zalatoris, playing well. I know the last match didn't go great for him, but he's playing great golf. And we haven't even talked about Jordan Spieth, who hasn't really quite been there, but he always shows up for the Masters. So it's just ringing out in my head when you got a match between DJ and Brooks and Scottie Scheffler doing what he's doing, Will Zalatoris playing the way he's playing, putting especially. It's really shaping up to be a good one.
Yeah, so we went from 16 down to 4. The final 4 is set, and all 4 competitors will play both matches tomorrow, Greg. That's kind of the key. It's also a key for fantasy purposes. You are guaranteed the 2 matches because whoever loses in the opening match, they're going to play for third place. So there's still a lot of dollars on the line, a lot of FedEx Cup points on the line, and a lot of fantasy points on the line for 2 full matches tomorrow.
So well, I guess you get the bonus for winning, but it doesn't make a huge difference if you had somebody lose today, this afternoon. They got through this afternoon. It's a big win in fantasy, right?
Yeah, the amount of people that even got 4 of their golfers out of group stage was so small, or even 3 out.
Right.
If you got as far as you did with 1 or 2 guys that lost today, you're probably going to end up still doing pretty well. You're right. I mean, obviously it'd be nice to have 2 more guaranteed matches, but the percentages were so tiny of how many golfers out of each lineup got out of the group stage.
I mean, the hardest thing about this in the fantasy perspective is the analysis all changes and it becomes a guesswork in a lot of ways. I know there's strategy, there's game theory, there's ways to optimize, like we talked about a lot during the week. But as for picking who's actually going to win, it is in a way random. I mean, Kevin Kisner should be probably an obvious choice. He's in a group with JT. And that was the big fear for me. JT's playing so well coming in. Do I really want to take Kevin Kisner over a JT or just avoid that group? And so it becomes very challenging. Scottie Scheffler, who's here playing tomorrow, he's in a brutal group. And he had to go win in a playoff to get in. So just brutally tough in fantasy. But it's exciting, and hopefully you have some players going tomorrow.
Yeah, let's talk about the 4 that will battle this out for the WGC Championship. Kevin Kisner, let's just start there. He defeats Adam Scott in the morning and then downs Will Zalatoris in the Elite 8 to punch his ticket to the Final 4. Kevin Kisner continues this unbelievable run at match play events, this unbelievable run at Austin Country Club. He is confident. He's playing well. It's really a sight to see when he gets rolling.
Yeah, and he has the match play aspect of him is beautiful because there's a lot of different ways he can do it. I mean, in his match against Justin Thomas, he just lit it up. But he doesn't do that every match, obviously. I mean, he'd be the greatest player in the world if he played like he did against JT every match. but he just has a way of staying in it even when it's not going well, which is what he did against Adam Scott. And then he got hot late. And it's like I get the sense when I watch him that he knows it's coming. He knows a hot streak is coming. And he makes a great birdie at 15 against Adam Scott to stay alive. And then he holds out for eagle on 16. I mean, there's definitely some fortune in that. While it was a great shot, whether it went in or not, there's a little bit of luck when it actually goes in. And so that was just... that's the special moment. But then what does he do on eight? He makes birdie on 18. And that's the clutchness of him. And then today he really just, I mean, he hit a lot of fairways and greens, he kept the ball in front of him. He didn't do anything crazy. In the Will Zalatoris match, he made four birdies, but it only took 15 holes to win because Will Zalatoris didn't hit it great and made a couple bogeys. And he just, hey, I'm going to put a par on the card. I'm going to guarantee a par by the time I'm on the green, and you're going to have to make a birdie to beat me. And when he gets an early lead, that style is so hard to catch up on.
It really is. And he's just the pressure being applied all the time by Kevin Kisner. It just builds. It just adds up. He's going to battle Canadian Corey Connors in the final four. Connors defeated Takumi Kanaya in the Sweet 16 and then finally served Abe Anser a loss. Remember, Anser hadn't trailed in any match leading into or getting out of the group phase, Greg. And we've got a situation now where I thought Connors was just solid. I just thought he was solid all day long. I didn't think he did anything amazing. I don't think he did anything poorly. And when you're just solid, when you have your B plus stuff for 18 holes, it keeps you in every single match. That's a really good formula.
Well, if B plus is six birdies,
that's true.
That's pretty good. So, but the thing is, his style looks just solid because it doesn't look spectacular. The reactions aren't spectacular. And he hit so many greens. He hit 15 greens in this afternoon match against Anser. That puts a ton of pressure on your opponent because, again, it's very much like Kevin Kisner playing with a lead. I'm going to put a par at worst on the card before we even get to the green. And so what are you going to do? And it's a brilliant strategy that has a real effect. I mean, when I was playing in college and we played a match play tournament every year, that was always my best event. And for some reason, my strategy was, all right, I'm going to play a little more conservative off the tee and conservative into greens. And I'm just going to putt. And I wish I could have done it in stroke play because I hit green after green after green. And as soon as I got a lead, everything in my opponent would change. Mm-hmm. And you can have an effect on what your opponent does in a greater way than in stroke play, because they have to now answer the call. And if I would hit 3-wood off the tee, hit first into the green, hit the green. And even if it's 35 feet, there's a new pressure on your opponent. And when I would get matches where I was the longer hitter, and I was hitting it past my opponent, I felt that pressure when they hit the green. And again, the pressure changes dramatically throughout the course of an event. And when you're as solid as Corey Connors, it's hard to beat. And then you handle the par fives and you make a couple of putts, just a couple putts, and boom, and you win. So he's impressive. He's going to be hard to beat tomorrow, even for Kisner.
Connors and Kisner on the right side of the bracket. The left side of the bracket features Scottie Scheffler, who beat the defending champion Billy Horschel in the morning, gets a little rematch from or a little revenge, excuse me, from last year. And then he beat Seamus Power in the Elite Eight. Scottie Scheffler, my God, Greg, I'm unbelievably impressed. He's probably the hottest golfer on the planet. And if he does win both matches on Sunday, the guy who just got his first PGA Tour victory a couple of weeks ago is going to be the world's number one.
It's amazing how the perception of Scottie Scheffler has shifted. Well, he really has done it. He's shifted. He went from a guy that we're wondering, you know, is winning a problem for him to a guy that's clutch. He's really clutch. I feel very confident with him over an 8-foot putt. This week, he has made all the big 8-footers. And it never looks like he's shying away from a moment. He looks like he's more energized. There were times before this winning streak where I felt like he was running out of gas. And I didn't know if he would have the energy to finish out a tournament. And it happened big time last year against Billy Horschel in the final. But you felt like he was kind of, he would run out of steam. And now I feel like it's the opposite. Like he gets energized and he gets going. But he did have a nice advantage today. The players in Billy Horschel and Seamus Power, who we played against, only made three birdies between the two of them.
Yeah.
And when you make as many birdies and eagles as him, he's going to win those every time.
Yeah, Billy struggled for a lot of that match this morning. Well, if Scotty Scheffler is going to become the number one player in the world, he's going to have to defeat Dustin Johnson on Sunday morning, because DJ goes through Richard Bland and then beats Brooks Koepka to earn his way into the final four. And this is kind of vintage DJ, what we're seeing right now. Just bomb it off the tee, putt it well enough, never get fazed by anything. It's a really good recipe for success in match play.
It's a great demeanor. And he seems to have a shot shape under control. He's hitting the ball really well, which is a huge reason. And so does Brooks. It's a huge reason why I'm so excited for Masters, because he looks to be in form and in order. And when he's hitting the ball this way, he contends in majors. And that same style that keeps you alive in majors, keeps you in contention in majors, is a great style for match play, especially in conditions like this. You drive it great and give yourself birdie putts. And that's exactly what DJ's done. And he handles par fives. He's taking care of the holes he should take care of. And he's been clutch. I mean, the birdie on 18 today against Brooks was great. I mean, he drove the green. That's the Dustin Johnson of 2015 at Chambers Bay, 2016 at Oakmont, those clutch tee shots on 18 under pressure. And I mean, he ended the match with the tee shot. You knew he won the match right there. It didn't matter what Brooks did really at that point.
And only the second guy to drive the green on 18 this week. So certainly well timed. Right. There for Dustin Johnson. All right, it's DJ versus Scotty Scheffler. It's Corey Connors versus Kevin Kisner. I've got the odds and I've got an update to those fantasy percentages we were talking about just a few minutes ago. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're back. Okay, Greg. I've got the odds here from Caesars Sportsbook, and they're all fairly close. Dustin Johnson is the favorite, plus 200. Scotty Scheffler is plus 225. Kevin Kisner is plus 300. And Corey Connors is plus 350. So Caesars likes DJ, and if it's not DJ, it's whoever comes out of the left-hand side of the bracket.
Right, and that makes a lot of sense. These two guys, Scotty Scheffler, as hot as he is, and Dustin Johnson being a past champion, a longstanding world number one, and playing great right now. Obviously, to be at this point, you're playing really good golf. He looks like he's going to be really hard to beat. And then again, so does Scotty Scheffler. So two somewhat opposing styles, I think, going up against each other. Even though they're both long, big hitters, Scotty Scheffler is a little more of a birdie bogey guy. And I think DJ is more comfortable playing what I call checkmark golf. Hit it in play, whether it's in the fairway or just in the rough, knock it on the green and putt at it. And Scotty Scheffler is a little more aggressive. He might hit it a little closer to the flag sometimes, but he might make some more bogeys and doubles as a result. Scotty Scheffler hits some of the most, for a player of his level, He hits some of the most bizarre tee shots. I mean, sometimes they just come off dead. He hits them way short of where he normally does. And then other times, like in his playoff against Matt Fitzpatrick, he's bombing it. So he's not quite as consistent in his golf swing as a Dustin Johnson, but he definitely has the firepower to contend. Now, Corey Connors has a really interesting advantage, and that's one fewer match. I know he still played that round of golf, but right, because Paul Casey gets injured and doesn't play. Now, he still plays the round, but it's a completely different round of golf than when you're actually in a match from a fatigue standpoint. So he's probably the most fresh, but he's playing Kevin Kisner, which is the real disadvantage. And so I don't know. I mean, it's a real toss up. And those are more similar styles to me, Connors and Kisner, than DJ and Scheffler. And those guys, they want to hit the fairway, hit the green, and then it becomes a putting contest from there. And I got to favor Kevin Kisner in a putting contest.
This is incredibly difficult to handicap because I would not be surprised to see any of these four guys win it. I think I'm on Team Scotty at the moment. I just am so impressed with what he's done. He's already pulled out of the Texas Open for next week. So this is, he can go out, he can win this, he can run on the experience from going to the finals with Billy Horschel last year. He's the hottest player, and he's going to be able to rest up for the Masters. I don't know. I feel like Scotty is so they're all very incentivized with like $2 million up top, but like Scotty's got so much on the line here. He's playing the best golf.
Yeah. And you wonder if that's going to get to him. And what I mean is you have that opportunity to reach world number one. The longer that lasts, the harder it is to get there. Yeah. It's kind of happened for Morikawa for a while where he's had all these chances, and maybe it's not the pressure. Maybe it's just the way these things work, but it seems like the pressure builds and the opportunity is missed, and it becomes this, it becomes harder to do than it was to win, than it was to do the things that got you in the position. And so if he were to do this tomorrow, it's the perfect way to reach a milestone like that. I mean, right. these two things I'm about to compare are not on the same level. But I think the pressure is similar and it's career Grand Slam opportunities. When you look at guys who have completed the career Grand Slam, they've all done it in three or fewer chances.
Right.
And so you look at a Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth is unfortunately getting to this level. And some of Phil Mickelson's a great example where you have opportunities for a really long time to achieve something that's great, that puts you in a new category, that makes you a historic player. And the longer those opportunities are missed, the greater the pressure gets and the harder it is to achieve. And if Scotty does it right now, it's like he's just running on the hot streak. World number one's a result. But if he starts to miss those opportunities, that becomes something he's asked about every week, like John Rahm with the putting. And all of a sudden, it becomes harder and harder to do. So I think this is a great, I'm kind of with you, Rick. I think it's a great week for him to just run through the door and take over as world number one.
If he does, the fans will be quite happy. They have Scotty in the one and done Greg, and they could make a big move over Kyle, over Sia. They might actually have already have passed them based on what the guaranteed earnings are, but lots of money still out there on the line. Jacob's on the other side of the bracket. The only two of us that have golfers live are Jacob and the fans. Jacob's got Kevin Kisner, so we could get an all first cut one and done battle in the finals for all the money and see who comes out on top.
Yeah. And I hope we do. I know that it's not advantageous for me, but at this point, this tournament hasn't gone very well for me. So I honestly blame Justin Thomas because Kevin Kisner is the pick here. I give such kudos to Jacob for stepping up and taking Kiz. He's the play in this tournament. JT scared me. I thought he was playing well enough to win, and Kisner just wiped the floor with him. So all the credit in the world to Jacob, and I'm blaming JT for my 1-1 disappointment this week.
Before we get out of here, I do have a note on the fantasy implications. So this is from Skylar Hoke at Skyhook DFS on Twitter. So 58% of lineups, Greg, are done. They have no golfers left in the final four. So over half the lineups, they are complete.
I'm one of them.
Yeah, I think I've got a bunch of those as well. 33% of the lineups have one of the four golfers remaining, one of them, so a third. 7% of lineups have two left. That's great. You're rocking and rolling. 0.6%, so less than 1%, have three guys left, and 0.03%, so less than a tenth of a percent of all the lineups have all four guys remaining.
I mean, what a final four to pick. You got Corey Connors in the final four. I mean, what a pick. I get the two. You got, if you have Scheffler and Kisner, they make a lot of sense. If you have a DJ in there, I get that. Those three guys make total sense at the beginning of the week. Although they're risk, it's risky. I mean, this tournament is so hard to pick because of the groups. And I've learned a valuable lesson this week. So many of my picks and my bracket design was based around who had easy groups. And I don't think there's such a thing. Like, once you get out of group stage now, these matches become they become critical in importance. And I wish I had Scottie Scheffler coming out, because I would value Scottie Scheffler much higher than Matt Fitzpatrick once you're at a group stage. But I wasn't sure he was going to get there. So I shied away from that group, shy away from Kisner because of JT. And it's so hard, but I think it's altered my strategy for next year a little bit. I'm definitely writing this down. I'm making a note of it. I'm changing my strategy next year.
I was going to say, I do the running notes and I look at them each year, and this will definitely be it.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, we'll be back after the final day. Again, we're going to see the final four and the championship and the consolation match tomorrow. So it'll be another full day of golf. We'll be back to break it all down. But for now, let me give a big thanks to Greg Ducharme. He's available on Twitter at TheRealGFD. And you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
A very bright, shining light, Sarajevo, and they needed to kill that light.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2.
U2, they represent a personification of our resistance.
The Hollywood Reporter hails Kiss the Future, moving and inspirational.
Kiss the Future! Viva Sarajevo!
Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount+. Go to Paramount+ to try it free. Terms apply.